Riordan hails from Texas and comes from a long line of teachers. So it wasn't much of a surprise when Rick decided to follow the family profession. After graduating from the University of Texas with a double major in English and history, Rick began teaching middle school. He and his wife moved to San Francisco, where he continued to teach. It was there he began writing mystery novels for adults. His first book, Big Red Tequila, was published in 1997 and became book one in an award-winning series. When Rick's son asked him for a new bedtime story, Rick began The Adventures of Percy Jackson, a boy who was half human and half god, living in modern-day America. That story became The Lightning Thief, the first of Rick's best-selling Percy Jackson and the Olympian series. Today we'll speak with Rick about his new title, Magnus Chase and the Gods of Asgard, Book 1 in the Sword of Summer series. Welcome, Rick. It's great to have you with us on the Book Report.
Thanks, Elaine. Good to be here.
You have to love an author who kills off his main character on page 1. To quote you, my name is Magnus Chase. I'm 16 years old. This is the story of how my life went downhill after I got myself killed.
Yes, it's not much of a spoiler to say that Magnus Chase does die fairly early in this book.
Well, introduce us to Magnus.
Well, Magnus is a 16-year-old homeless boy who is living on the streets of Boston. He thinks his life is already pretty hard, but then he just happens to die heroically with a sword in his hand. And if you know Norse mythology, you know that according to the Vikings, that means you're going to wake up in Valhalla, the Viking paradise. That's exactly what happens, even though it's 21st century America. Magnus finds out he's now one of Odin's warriors, and his life gets really complicated very quickly.
So what age reader is the Magnus series aimed at?
You know, it's interesting. I always target the books toward the age group I know best, which is the middle grades, say ages 9 to 14. I was a teacher for many years, and that's the age I taught. However, I hear all the time from older readers, adults, teenagers, college kids, that have picked up the books or stayed with the books and loved them. And that's great, too. I think a good story should be entertaining no matter what your age.
Why do you believe kids today respond so well to mythology?
There is something about mythology that has kept it relevant for all these thousands of years. I think the elements of good storytelling really began with the myths. You have heroes and villains. You have wonderful dilemmas. You have magical powers. You have romance. You have revenge. I mean, basically all the things that humans care about and are interested in are present in those old stories, which is why we still tell them today.
What's it been like for you switching from ancient Greek to Norse mythology?
Oh, I've loved Norse mythology since I was a child. It really was my first love in terms of mythologies. I grew up reading the Thor comic books, which, granted, aren't really all that accurate with mythology. But my eighth grade English teacher gave me a book of Norse myths, introduced me to the Lord of the Rings, and I've been hooked ever since. In terms of writing about them, it's something I've wanted to do pretty much since I knew I was going to be a writer. One of the challenges, though, is that we don't have as much source material. The Vikings weren't big on writing things down. So a lot of our sources are incomplete, and we have to do a lot of guesswork about what these gods were like.
Tell us about the gods of Asgard, Thor, Loki, and Odin.
Absolutely, yes. Those are the big three that, you know, if you've heard of any of them, you've probably heard of those three. The Viking gods tend to be much more warlike than the Greek counterparts because, you know, the Vikings were raiders. They had a very warlike culture. But at the same time, the Viking gods are a lot more approachable. They're a lot closer to the common man. You can't really imagine Apollo just sort of, you know, going into Starbucks and sitting down with you and chatting over a latte. You know, but Thor, yeah, absolutely. I don't know that he'd order a latte. He'd probably order a foaming mead, but still, he was a man of the people. You could really kind of hang out with him.
What's an Inherjar?
Right. The Inherjar are, excuse my Norwegian, which I do not speak, but they are the once warriors, Odin's chosen. If you die and go to Valhalla, you are reborn in his paradise there, and you basically hang out with Odin and fight each other and kill each other all day long, but not to worry, you'll wake up as good as new in time for dinner. And that, as far as the Vikings were concerned, that was paradise. But the catch is that eventually you'll have to fight in the final battle in Ragnarok. And unfortunately for the Norse gods, they know the future, and they are doomed to lose.
Can you describe the Nine Worlds?
Yeah, the Vikings had this really interesting idea that there's not just one world, but there are nine layers of worlds. And they're all connected by this sort of celestial Yggdrasil, which is the world tree. And the way I envision it, you can sort of climb the world tree and go from world to world. So you have Midgard, which is Middle Earth to the Tolkien fans and Earth to us. We're surrounded by Jotunheim, which is the world of the giants. They usually picture them as big mountains on the periphery of the world. Asgard, the world of the gods. Vanaheim, the world of the other gods, the Vanir, the nature gods. And it just goes on and on. You've got the elves' world, the dwarves' world, fire world, ice world. I mean, you name it, there's a world for everything. The only one that's not there is Disney World.
We're speaking with Rick Riordan on The Book Report. Okay, you write that the Norse explored North America and built settlements 500 years before Columbus. Where were those settlements?
Well, we don't know exactly how far the Vikings made it in real life. We know that they made it to what is now Canada. They have found remains, artifacts of settlements up in Newfoundland. We know, of course, that they had settlements that were permitted in Greenland. And there's been speculation about whether they ever made it as far south as Boston. There have been some proponents of that theory. In fact, there's a statue of Leif Erikson on the Commonwealth Mall in Boston. But we don't know. I just kind of took that and ran with it, that this is probably as far as they could have gotten. So I'm just going to sort of say, sure, why not? This is where they ended up.
All right. As a writer, can you tell us about your fifth period after lunch test?
Yep, you bet. Well, this is from my middle school teaching days. And basically, whenever I write a book, I imagine reading it aloud to my own students fifth period after lunch. That is a pretty tough litmus test. If you can keep the students' attention, not just the A-plus students in the front row, but every student in the class, even the reluctant ones, if you can keep their attention fifth period after lunch, you really have something going. And that's what I try to do. I try to reach all the readers.
How do you juggle your different series? Do you work on more than one book at a time?
Typically not. I typically stagger work on them. It takes about a year to write a book from start to finish. Now, at the beginning of that, some of that is just letting the ideas percolate, doing my research, taking down notes, doing ideas. And I can do that while I'm writing another project. But once I start in, the actual writing is a good 6 months of solid work on just that one project.
Can you recommend a book on Norse mythology that's appropriate for this age reader?
The best one out there right now is Dallaire's. They are, you know, it's an older book, obviously, like Dallaire's Greek myths, but the Dallaire's also did several really good books on Norse mythology, and their main compendium is still in print, still available, and it's wonderful. It's very well illustrated.
Tell us about your music.
My music, you know, I started as a guitar player in high school, and for a while there, I thought I would be, you know, a rock star. I had the long hair. I wrote songs. And then, you know, that didn't work out, and I think the world is probably a better place because it didn't work out. But I did learn a lot about storytelling, and I got an appreciation for how hard it is to break into the arts. So I think some of that transferred over, and certainly the showmanship of being on stage transferred over when I became a teacher and later a writer.
Any final thoughts about Magnus?
Magnus is probably one of my favorite characters. He is a lot grittier, a lot edgier than Percy Jackson, for instance, but he is probably the character that's closest to my own voice. So I'm anxious to share them with readers and see what you guys think.
And are you already at work on book two in the series?
I am. Book two, The Hammer of Thor, will be out next fall.
All right. Rick, thanks so much for stopping by. The book was so much fun. Thank you.
Thank you, Elaine.
Bye.
Bye-bye.